Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
No animals were harmed in the making of this podcast.
This is the South Coast Amateur Radio Service, SCARS. This TNT open forum is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further rules outlined in the FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the West Michigan privately owned repeater network. This TNT net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers, whichever. Information regarding our FHF operation may be found at www.southcars.com, or for our digital operation, that would be www.voip.southcars.com. Your moderator for this session is KD0CDQ. This is Mike here, Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. I am located in Olathe, Kansas, which is about 23 miles southwest of Kansas City, Missouri. Oh, and what's the temperature? Would you believe today we got up into the light 70s? Oh, my, I got out and washed two cars today. It was so nice and warm out there. Before we start, may I ask, is there any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled before we proceed? Well, with that covered, let us proceed. The subject this evening is going to be, well, it's kind of a potpourri of interesting things in ham radio that are happening now around us, okay? And hopefully, we're part of it. I trust that you're enjoying the season. Those of you in the warm climb, I know you're happy just to be down there out of the weather. And those of us in the colder climb, well, I think we're pretty well used to winter now. We're ready for spring. So we're ready, and I trust you had a good day today, no matter what the situation was, whether you worked or not, whatever. So now let us have a good evening of some ham talk. The SCARS outreach here is to reach to you, each and every one of you. So if you have something you ever want to say, just give me a little beep in the text box or one way or another, and let me know you have something to comment about. So for a short while, let's brighten your evening with some information. Now, I always believe that you never know if you've reached the final destination unless you had a map. Because if you don't have a map, any place is a good destination. So I'm going to give you an idea what we're going to cover tonight. I've been looking at some various things, and I know we all have different tastes, but I'm going to start from far away and come in close. My plan is to start out with the ISS, the International Space Station, and come on down to talk about D-Star. Maybe some of you have used D-Star and would want to contribute some knowledge to us that we could all use. I'm going to talk about radio communication technology on Facebook, of all places. We're going to talk about something in QST magazine about CW operators, which was just in a new mag that just came out. And then we'll look at some 2010 stats on licensing exams from the AWRL. Some interesting stats have come out. We're getting closer and closer to home. And then we're going to talk about SCARS. 2010 and SCARS, what we've actually done here at South Cars. And then I'm going to ask Pete a little later on about this WAVE podcast. I'm sorry, I don't know exactly. I think that's what it's called. And so I'm going to ask Pete a little later on this evening to tell us a little bit about that so we can get more involved with it. And then in closing, if we're lucky, if things work out, we're going to have on some local celebrities here with SCARS to talk to us about what's going on with SCARS locally. So we're going to start out there in space, and we'll find ourselves finishing with SCARS tonight. That's the circle we're going to take. If anybody has any comments, come on aboard. This is KD0CDQ. We are quite a varied group. We all may have a hobby in our back pocket called ham radio or amateur radio, whatever you want to call it. But other than that, we are so varied that I'm never sure what exactly you want to hear. So I kind of look at things in general and hope that maybe you'll be as kooky as I am and like some of the topics that I get into. The first thing that really interests me when I heard about this guy, Doug Wheelock. Now, Doug Wheelock, that's just a name pulled out of a hat, right? But Doug Wheelock is an astronaut, and he also happens to be KF5BOC. He also happens to be a ham operator. And not only is he an astronaut and a ham operator, but he actually takes his hobby from outer space down to us. And that's what I really appreciate about the fellow. As you know, he was up there for, what was it? Well, it'll probably be here in the tech somewhere. He was up there for a few months. 6 months he was up there. Whoa, that's a long time to be hanging around up there on a star. But what I want to tell you about, for those of you who are fortunate enough to attend the 2011 ARRL Expo, which is part of the Dayton Ham Fest. I don't know how many of you are going to get to the Dayton Ham Fest, but if you do, as a special guest of the ARRL and AMSAT, A-M-S-A-T, will be Doug Wheelock. The astronaut's going to be there, and he's going to share his experiences about using amateur radio in space. Boy, that's cool. And he spent 6 months there on the ISS, 7 weeks as ISS commander, while aboard the ISS, of course. And he was with another fellow astronaut, Shannon Walker. And Shannon Walker is also KD5DXB, another ham. And they both participated in amateur radio on the International Space Station program under the Ares umbrella. Together, the two of them made 22 ISS to school and ISS to camp QSOs. Now that's what's cool. We've had many astronauts go up there, and many astronauts have ham license, but these two gentlemen took their time, their spare time, their sleep time, whatever you want to say, to contact schools and camps, children's camps. I thought that was very cool of these gentlemen. So if any of you get to go to the Ham Fest, check your schedule and see if you can't get in on listening to their talk. It'd be cool to see these handsome dudes and find out what it was like to be up in space and what it was like, how it was like to be a ham radio operator in space, talking to all these mystical people for minutes at a time as they fly around and around. I'm going to let it drop here. Now, if you want to know more about these gentlemen, check in the QST magazine or check anywhere online. You'll find a lot of things about the contacts that they have made from space. Now, something I want to talk about is ARISS, A-R-I-S-S. That's amateur radio on the International Space Station. Everything's got a code name, you know, nowadays. So ARISS, A-R-I-S-S, they talk about Doug Wheelock. It actually said he had 48 scheduled program contacts. It says here from, this article I'm reading from ARRL, so they found even more than what I read in the other article, which said he had about 20-some-odd. And not only did he contact schools, but he also did a YouTube connection where he was actually live on YouTube, and he also did a Twitter. Now, many of us, we don't mess with Twitter, but some of you may out there, and there is that variableness among us. So he's right in with the current technology, letting it drop. Now, if any of you want to know about the ARISS contacts, it's strictly ARRL.org/listen-to-watch-ARISS-contacts. Sounds like a lot of words, but I'm sure that if you get on the ARRL website, you'll find some information about the contacts that they made from space. See, this is intriguing young people, children. Nothing would be more intriguing than to any age. I mean, I definitely know a lot of grown men that have contacted the space stations, and they're so intrigued and they're so invigorated by making those contacts. I can't imagine what it is in a child's mind to make a contact with an astronaut live. That must have really been a special occasion for them. So they do have some of those tapes you can listen to, I gather, that are available. That would be neat to hear the children asking their questions and the response they're getting from the astronauts. That would be very cool. And, of course, there's another milestone for ARISS program. They're expecting to launch, it's called ARISSAT. It's A-R-I-S-S. AT-1. This satellite has been delivered to the ISS via the Progress rocket, it's called. Progress rocket. I don't know what that is, really. Astronauts are expected to launch it during a spacewalk in mid-February. The satellite is a project of AMSAT, and the ARISS program partners replaced, well, the SUITSAT project. There's another one, SUITSAT project. Boy, these code names they have for things, they really get confusing. So they're moving along with this. So they're putting another satellite, another ham satellite, up in space. And I do recall that a couple of days ago I saw where they had to delay that operation, but it's going to come about. So we'll have another means of contacting. And what's so neat about that, as you know, those of you who have done it, when you can bounce off those satellites and God knows where you're going to come down on this planet, but you come down somewhere else and you contact people you normally would never have contact with. It must be a very cool experience because people who have done that, we did have a team of three come in from the Raytown Amateur Radio Service over in Missouri, and they tour different clubs and they give talks about this satellite communication, the contacts from the ground with your little 2-meter, your 2 and 440 handhelds, and with a handheld antenna. And they get so excited when they tell us the stories about the contacts they've made. So can you imagine what it would be like? And if you're just with the guys listening in, I bet that's a big treat. Who knows? Any one of you out there may have that treat when the time is right. Okay, I'm going to let it drop, and then we'll go on to some other subjects. This is KD0CDQ. Well, I know I'm giving my call sign in less than 10 minutes because I got this little stopping watch going here, and it helps me to know what's going on. Otherwise, I lose track of where I am. D-Star. How many of you out there, do any of you out there have a radio with D-Star in it, and have you used D-Star? Would you want to tell us anything about it? If there's anyone out there that works with, it's usually an ICOM radio that has a D-Star facility in it. If any of you have used D-Star, would you want to tell us about it and how it works? I'm going to let it drop here. Come on aboard if you do.
X-ray Papa Lima.
Go ahead, XPL.
Thank you very much, Michael. Welcome, everyone, to the open forum and to the podcast, which I hear we'll be discussing later. Thanks for being there. I have nothing to say on the current subject because I do not partake, but I just wanted to add about the International Space Station. If you are a Twitter user, you can go to the ID TWISST30. That's the Twitter ID, and you'll get updates every time it's coming over your neck of the woods. So you can have a peek if you happen to be outside. You can get those on your smartphones, too, so I just wanted to add that. Back to you, Michael.
Something I've noticed, people that have more recently come to ham radio are getting into these new technologies more so. When I mentioned this team of three that travels to different clubs, and they go to different states, too. They're traveling a bit. To talk about satellite communication, the lead fellow was only licensed in 2010, and the number one backup guy who does it was licensed in 2009. So these are new hams. Of course, the third one of the bunch, he's a guy that's been around a long time with, and he keeps their feet on the ground, I guess. So the new hams are getting into this new technology. So, you know, we've got to keep an eye on what's happening because there's a lot of interesting things out there. With this D-Star, it is a combination, from what I gather from, I have at least one fellow in the club that does this. They use the internet and their handheld radio, and that's how they make their communication. So it's like a VoIP. It's another method of voice over internet protocols, projects. It's kind of like Echolink and kind of like IRLP, but it's another avenue. And whether it's going to grow and be big enough, I don't know. None of us seem to know. But I understand that in Japan, it is a big thing in Japan. I understand that they are very much into this D-Star operation. And whatever it caught on there, who knows? But they're very technical folks, the people in Japan, certainly the ham operators, and they like this service. So keep an eye on D-Star stuff. You see articles in the magazines, read about it. Let's find out more and more about it. Because if I was going to buy a radio now, I would ask them, well, what's this D-Star all about? I would probably think about having it in my radio, but of course what I have now doesn't contain that facility. But it's an up-and-coming thing, we hope. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, letting it drop. Going back to this Facebook, I rarely go on Facebook, only if I see a message in my email that someone is trying to contact me and I haven't been responsive on Facebook. But I work in a high school, as you probably know. These kids are on Facebook not only daily, but during the day. And you'll make the kids laugh. They will not go to sleep at night until they've made their last Facebook entry. Whatever that means, that's how close they keep in touch with their buds. They just put entries on Facebook, and they're all sharing this information. And as far as Facebook and hams, it seems things are showing up there as well. There are ham operators that are getting into Facebook and forming their own groups, you know, the Facebook groups. For those who haven't used Facebook, you can only contact people who accept you as a fellow listener, shall I say. You have to get an okay from the other person that you can communicate. Where with Twitter, you just broadcast. You're out there shooting at anybody who wants to read what you've put in there. But with Facebook, it's limited to only a group. It could be a large group, though, but only to the group. And hams are starting to form their own groups and communicating back and forth. Another avenue, see, another method of communicating. Hams never seem to give up finding new ways of communicating when all they have to do is just use the voice. We like to use other technologies as well. Now, I'm going to let it drop for a few moments, then I'm going to come back with some information in the recent QST magazine about CW operators. This is KD0CDQ letting it drop. About 2 days ago, the new QST arrived, the March issue, and so, of course, I had to jump in there and look at the special events page. You know, the rest of the magazine, I can get to the magazine. It's going to be here, not going anywhere, but I've got to read the special events. I've got to see what's happening, when it's happening, what frequency, and all that stuff. So I can kind of chart what I'm going to do for the month of March, even though I'm still working February, right? So what happens to be on the same page, page 97 of the QST? It's a section called At the Foundation, and it's CW Operators Club grants available. Grants, CW grants, what is this? There's a club, and in order to get to them, you have to go through the ARRL.org grant application group to get to them, but they're offering what it says here. The CW Operators Club is a new organization of over 700 CW enthusiasts that will provide small grants for materials needed to teach Morse code to new hams, including scouts. Educational material covered under the grants include oscillators, keys, software, audio tapes or CDs, and other written materials. Isn't that cool? Because here we at SCARS have just about ready to complete our first CW classes, actually the 22nd, this coming Tuesday, should be the last class for this session of CW training that we have done right here through SCARS, right here over Echolink. And here it is that in QST Magazine, there's people are so interested, they're ready to put some skin in the game, shall we say. They're ready to put money on the table to help young people get into CW. See, it may be an old art, but it's not lost, and it's not going to be lost as long as we have organizations. Look at that, 700 CW enthusiasts. That's a lot of folks putting money into a pot to help young people or any people get into CW operation. I thought that was cool. If you want to read more about that, it's on page 97 of the QST magazine. So it looks like SCARS, we ain't following nobody. We're right there, right on the front line. Not only are we into it, and so is ARRL. Who's first? Who cares? We're all into the same thing, trying to keep the hobby, the history of the hobby, the tools of the hobby, of days gone by and days to come, all together. We're not going to say one is better than the other. No, it's just different modes of having fun with the hobby called ham radio. This is KD0CDQ, letting it drop. Well, don't you know I pushed the wrong button on my stopwatch, and I can't get it to go back to zero. Come on, baby. Give this old man a break. Well, I may have to go without it for a little while until I figure out what happened. Now, 2010 was not that far ago. 2010 was close enough that we now have stats. We now have stats from the ARRL about what happened last year in ham radio. And you can imagine I'm going through stacks of paper here because, you know, we don't have a staff here with me to help me get through this. So I'm flipping pages. Here we are. The 2010 stats on licensing exams. Now I'm going to have to stop to get the stopwatch going because I know, good, it went to zero. Here we go. I'm going to let it drop, and then I will be able to know where we are so I don't run over again. Okay, now a lady named Maria Soma, S-O-M-M-A, who is Alpha Bravo 1, Foxtrot Mike, AB1 FM, she is the manager of the ARRLVECs. Whoa, that's a title, manager of the ARRLVECs. She reports that 27,528 new hams were licensed in 2010. Now, this is a decline from the 30,000-plus new hams licensed in 2009. And there's at least one explanation. She gives at least one explanation here. Licensing of new hams declined significantly during the last half of 2010 as compared with the first half of the year. A couple of factors help to explain that decline. Maria notes that the second half of the year is typically less busy. There is always a decline in the number of examinees in the second half of the year because of the summer travel months, July and August, and because of the holidays in November and December. But it doesn't normally drop off as much as we experienced in 2010. Another factor at play, an anticipated change in the question pool creates a surge in testing before the change and a slump afterwards. In the first half of 2010, Maria notes that we were actually ahead of 2009 new amateurs, 6 months totals. But by September, it was clear that we were lagging behind the 2009 totals, and the number of new licensees being issued through the end of 2010 had dropped by 23% from the beginning of the year. Finally, Maria notes that there is always an adjustment period for teachers and examinees whenever a new pool is released. An anticipation of this adjustment is reflected in the passing rate. This passing rate is interesting. The pass rate for the previous tech pool, which expired in June 30th, 2010, was 87%. So 87% of the hams, 87% of the testees, shall we say, got their tech license. They passed the test. The pass rate of the new tech pool, effective July 1, 2010, is 77%, also helping to explain the decline in new licensees. So with the new pool, 77% is passing. With the old pool, 87% passed. Now, I'll tell you, having taught both the old pool and the new pool, there's no big difference, guys. There's no big difference at all. Now, why the pass rate has slipped, the passing rate has slipped, I don't quite know why. It's not that, unless it's something psychological going on there. I'm going to let it drop, and I'll read another paragraph of what she has here. This is KD0CDQ, letting it drop. If you have any comments, come on aboard and say something. Okay, now, the surge in upgrades to general, now here's some more information for you, a little bit different. The surge in upgrades to general and extra had occurred in 2008 after the Morse code requirements seemed to have stabilized, but at a significantly higher level than prior to 2007. Total numbers of upgrades during the past 2 years has averaged between 10,000 and 11,000. Now, upgrades do not include those who sit for their first license and pass the tech in general or tech and general and extra in a single sitting. This is a dramatic increase over pre-restructuring upgrade totals per year, which averaged about 6,200. So what they're saying here is now that the Morse code deal is out of the way, we have had a number of people going for their general and going for their extra, which is a good thing. It's a good thing that people are moving up in the hobby. So we're seeing that now. I'm gonna give you, there's a lot of numbers here. It's a breakdown of the exam activity in 2010 by license level. I don't want to bore you with a bunch of numbers, but this I got out of the ARRL e-newsletter, and that's another thing. ARRL sends out newsletters, as you know. They have them on emergency communication. This one is just called an e-newsletter. They have them for teachers. They have various newsletters that go out. You know the ones about the DXing and such. But this one is the ARRL e-newsletter, and this was in the February 2011 issue. And they give you a total breakdown of how many, extras, generals, and tech licenses were issued in the past 3 years, 08, 09, and 10. I'll just give you the bottom line, the total of 2008, then 9, and then 10. If you want to crayon out and write down some numbers just to give you some reflection, in 2008, there were 43,567 licensees, okay, that took their test. In 2009, there were 40,940, and in 2010, there were 38,254 was the total of the license types that were issued for that year. So we're getting two different stories here. Looks like we're slowing down a little bit, guys, in the number of people going into the hobby. That doesn't mean less people are coming in. It's just a slowdown of people getting licensed, because you got to remember, people that have come in 07, 08, and 9, and 10, they're still out there moseying around, and there's a lot of people who've been away from the hobby for a while that are coming back in. So it's kind of hard to keep track of how many folks are out there. But there's four ways that they track folks, and that's the next thing I'll tell you about. This is KD0, CDQ, Letting It Drop. Now, here's some more information about the licensing. This comes from a fellow who does his own research. His name is Rob DeSantos, DeSantos. I don't have his call here. But he writes this in February, of 09, right now. He has done some research, and he shows the number of people obtaining ham licensing was on the rise. Now, it was. Here's the word, it was on the rise. Now, number two, he notices an increase of people at the ham fests. The ham fests are seeing more people arrive, which tells me there may be less new people getting licensed, like in 10 versus 09, but there's more people showing up at the ham fests. Also, research has been done. They are hearing more people on the repeaters. They're hearing more hams. More people coming aboard. And the fourth thing that they notice, that many of the new hams are exploring other parts of the radio spectrum, which means they're getting into echo link, they're getting into IRLP, satellites, and maybe that D-Star. So they're seeing a movement among ham operators. Although the number of new operators has not increased, there's more of them at HamFest. There's more of them on the repeaters, and they're getting into other radio spectrums. This is a good thing, I think, that we're spreading out. Folks are spreading out into the hobby. That's a good thing. That just gives you an idea of what's going on out there. This is the outreach for SCARS, but this is also the outreach for ham radio, the hobby itself. I don't see how we can really separate a SCARS outreach from a ham radio outreach, because it's the same thing. Each one serves the other. Or we both grow together or we don't grow together. Fortunately, we are growing. You know there's over 10,000 members now, or shall we say contact people, whatever you want to call them, in the SCARS network. South Cars has really grown, whether it be through HF or whether it be through Echolink. We're growing all the time. New people are coming aboard. That's what I mean. There's people out there that are getting involved in the hobby that have been drifting around for a while and seem to be poking our heads up out of the ground again. In a moment, let's see, we've been 30 minutes into this. I don't know if you have noticed. You're probably getting emails, too, from Pete up in Quebec, VE2XPL, discussing, I don't want to missay it, but it's called a Wave Podcast, I believe, and maybe Pete would be the best one to explain to you what this is that he is doing. QRZ had a good article on it a few weeks ago, and it stayed pretty popular. It had a lot of hits, I understand. But Pete, maybe you can explain more to us about this. You do it. It's View Podcast, I believe, but I might be messing it up. This is over to you, Pete. EE2XPL in Quebec.
Yeah, hi again, Michael. Indeed, the Waveguides Podcast. You were asking me how do you guys get involved in the Waveguides Podcast. Well, that's simply Waveguides Podcast is the recording of this net. We do this net every week, as you guys know, and we record it for podcasting, and I have given it the catchy name of Waveguides. I figured I'd keep TNT, the live portion of, you know, the live net separate from the podcast, because the podcast I add music to and certain commentaries, so it's not exactly the same product. But you guys are all involved by showing up here every week and by supporting us. You're involved in the podcast as well, and you can check that out at www.waveguides.ca. And the beauty of the podcast and the beauty of this net is the variety of topics that we talk about every single week. And yeah, you were mentioning the QRZ article a few weeks ago. Actually, it was in December now. That was 2 months ago already. How time flies when you're having fun. But it had something like 3,000 or 5,000 hits. I can't remember. I was actually frantically looking it up before you called on me, and I didn't get to it. But it was something outrageous. And all over the way that we spelt, the Waveguides on the website. So I guess any publicity is good publicity. So let me let it drop for a sec. So there you go. So what's happening with the Waveguides Podcast? Well, you guys already know. It's what's happening with the TNT Open Forum. So I don't know if you want me to wait, or I could give you, since we're talking about it, I could give you a little bit of an outline of what's to come on the net and on the podcast. Michael, back to you.
Pete, that probably would be quite appreciated, because we don't know what ears are all listening here. And while we have this audience captured, it might be a good time to give them a hint as to what's coming. A little teaser about what's coming along there, Pete, if you can. If you don't have it up, just tell me, and I'll go on with something else. Back to you, Pete.
No, it's always sitting here under my desk. I keep a paper copy of that, because there's so many changes that we do throughout the programming season that I kind of like to scribble and write in names and topics and change things, and I refresh it about every month or so, because then I can't read my own writing, of course, and it's all scribbled up. So, it's always very convenient. Here it is right here. You can hear it. So what's coming up on the TNT Open Forum and the Waveguides Podcast in the next few weeks? Every first Thursday of the month, we've started a series, started that on February 3rd. We started a series called Getting Back to Basics, presented by Gordon, KY6V. And that's a technical series on the basics of electronics and ham radio. It's going to be very popular, I think. It's a 4 or 5 part series, depending on how much material they can get through in one episode, I guess. I'm told that the next one's going to be pretty meaty, so last time they got through a number of topics, what was frequency, audio levels, things like that. So it's pretty interesting, and I look forward to the next presentations as well. So that'll be the first Thursday of the month for the next 4 months, I'm guessing, but that's just a guess, of course. Let's see what is coming up next week. On the 24th, we're going to have our first science show, and I'm tentatively calling this science show the TNT Quirks and Quarks. And for any Canadians listening, you guys know that I totally stole that from Bob McDonald, who's a Canadian scientist and host of a show called Quirks and Quarks on CBC Radio. And he's regularly featured on Canadian TVs, and he's interviewed whenever, asteroids crash into things and stuff. They go to Bob McDonald. And he has this great podcast and show called Quirks and Quarks. You guys can check it out on, I actually wrote it down for you guys, but you can check that out on www.cbc.ca/quirks. And that's who I stole the name from, TNT Quirks and Quarks. Next week we're going to start off easy and delve into some basic principles of physics. So we'll see what we could do with that. Coming up on March 3rd, we have part two of the basics, which I was just talking about. Let me let it drop one more time. And coming up March 10th, I'm very excited to announce that we're going to have another one in our series of interesting interviews. We're going to be interviewing the hosts of the Low SWR podcast, which are Rich, KD0BJT, and Brady, KD0BJS. And I'm very much looking forward to that. You guys can get a link to their podcast from our podcast from waveguys.ca. And it's an interesting podcast. I've listened to it pretty much since the beginning, and I usually keep caught up. I have long commutes to and from work, so I have lots of time to listen to lots of stuff. So that's one of the ones that's in my aggregator. That's what's going on in the world of the TNT programming and the Waveguides podcast for the next couple of weeks. I invite everybody to give me your suggestions for shows. Send me your feedback as well for the live open forum or for the podcast, which are one and the same pretty much. Just have different names to keep everything simple. And we accept, like I said, topics anybody wants to suggest, anything you want to hear about, whether it be ham radio related or not. We delve into other areas of interest as well, from gardening to photography to we've talked about fishing, we've talked about dog training and search and rescue. We've talked about all kinds of cool and interesting stuff, so that's where the diversity comes in. So there you go, and like I said, the Low SWR podcast, I forgot to give you guys the email address, www.lowswr.com. So be sure to be here on March 10th, and you guys can ask questions to KD0BJT yourselves, and in the meantime, check out the podcast. Check out our podcast, and I hope to see you guys again every week on the TNT Open Forum. So, Mike, back to you. If you have any other questions, I'll be happy to entertain them. If not, carry on. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Pete, for that rundown. I always feel it's always good to get it from the horse's mouth. Go back to the people to put something together, and that was Pete's brainchild. He came up with this idea of this waveguides, and when I first read the email about it, you know, I was a little vague. I didn't what's he talking about? But, you know, seeing is the best way to learn something is just jump in there and do it. And if you want to learn what the waveguide podcasts are all about, just get up on our site and just take some down and listen. And as Pete does on the way to work, that's a good way, especially if you have a means in your automobile or whether you have a, you know, what is it, the MP3 player or something, you can plug in your ears and rapid transit, whatever, and listen to these. Those could be quite interesting for any one of us. Coming back to SCARS, coming back to the outreach program that we're trying to do here, do you realize that in 2010, SCARS lit up like a great big bulb? You realize in 1 year we gave technician classes, which we had never done before over the air, over EchoLink, and not many places can you find EchoLink available with classes for technician classes, for technician. Because what makes it difficult is they can't use EchoLink. You realize that? People going for a technician license cannot use EchoLink. So they have to use Skype. So we combined, this was actually Gordon's plan, he figured this out, we have them come aboard on Skype, the new prospective students, and we're actually doing the program on EchoLink, and the EchoLink is linked to Skype. So that bridged the problem, how do we get new people through the internet to learn from hams, and how do we do this? Well, there's how we do it. And then we have material available where they could get up on the actually the SCARS website, and they can download information. So they downloaded all the questions and information, all the things that they would need. So then we moved ahead after doing a technician class. We went to the general. Then we gave general class. This was able to be done over EchoLink, of course, because they had their license now. Folks had their license. They were technicians. They had diddled around and thought, well, maybe I'd like to go for general. So we had an audience for a general license. This, too, was Gordon's plan to bring us along. And he had in the back of his mind, which I was afraid that he did, he had in the back of his mind, let's go for the extra class. Oh, you can't even find an extra class in your community, I'll bet, if you look around for it. Wow, where are you going to find hams that are going to sit down and want to try to convey to you the things you need to know to get an extra ticket? I'm going to let it drop, and then I'll come back and talk a little bit more about Extra Class. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. If anyone has anything they want to say, hey, come on aboard and say something. This is open to everyone. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. I'm now talking about the Extra Class. Well, that is something that was kind of scary because it's hard to read questions for the, say, the Extra, if bad enough for the General, but with the Extra Class, and trying to convey to somebody anywhere in the country what you're trying to get over. We don't want to just do a Q&A. We did a Q&A with explanations and understanding, trying to help people actually know what they know and know what they don't know routine. And so we were able to tally-ho right through there and do all of the extra, everything that was needed. And before we even finished the classes, we had people notifying us through email that they had taken the test and passed. I don't know how many finally finished and went ahead and took their extra exam, but we had a notable number. Hey, just the fact that we gave extra classes over EchoLink from SCARS, that was amazing. That was historic. Because I still don't know where else you would go on the Internet to take extra classes with live people, people you could ask questions of. And not only did we do the classes, which were quite extensive. I kept a log, shall we call it? And the log that I show here for the technician classes, we had 13 different sessions totaling 19.5 hours. And when we did the general, again, we did 9 sessions plus 3 sessions that were kind of like a reviews, I guess you call it that. So we spent 13 and a half hours on the air, plus the 6 hours of review. So 13 plus 6, that's about 19 and a half hours on the general. And then we went ahead with the, I'm reading my stats here, so with the extra class, we did 19 and a half hours on the air, 19 and a half hours on the air to give the extra lessons. That was 12 lessons, but it was 19 and a half hours. They took about an hour and a half each. So somewhere here I have in total, yes, in the year 2010, South Coast Amateur Radio Service spent 83.5 hours of review on the air for general and extras, and we spent 72 and a half hours teaching technician, general, and extra classes. We're getting some high math there. It looks to me between the 72.5 and 83.5 hours, that's how many hours. And we didn't get paid a dime, and we wouldn't take a dime for this. We do this because we want to help people. We want to help each other. That's what I think is a good binder here in amateur radio, that there is a big group of amateur radio operators that really want to help each other. And so we spent this time willingly just to help other people. I'm going to let it drop, and then I'm going to go into our fourth program that we offered this past year. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec in Olathe, Kansas, letting it drop. Then we went on, and this was strictly Gordon's idea because I'm not capable of doing this, but he was willing. He went for it. Morse code classes. Good old CW. He has been in the process of twice a week on Sunday nights and Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, been giving Morse code classes. And they run about an hour and a half apiece. And we still have a class coming up Sunday, and then the final one is planned to be on Tuesday, which is, February 22nd. Should be the last class. Now, I'm going to admit to you fellas that I'm a dropout. I did the best I could, but with my hearing, I have trouble with the dits and the dats. I have trouble. I know the alphabet. I know the numbers. I know the pronunciation marks, all the punctuation marks and all. But when I hear it, I have difficulty copying. I can transmit very quickly. I can transmit well. Just you give me a text and I can send it. But to hear a text and to be able to convert it into something that I can make out, it's very difficult for me. So at this point, I am not going to go any further with the Morse code, but I appreciate it. I appreciate all that Gordon has done. And he took me from a point of zero up to a point where I can send and I know all the characters. I just cannot receive well. Well, that's where we are at this point. But that's just my story. But there's more of the story that I know that there are many people, I think there's 18 students in all. People are all gaining something. It's not that we have to go all the way through with it and become, you know, 10, 15, 20 words a minute operators. But we can learn as much as we can, as far as we can go. And this is a good forum. SCARS provided the forum for anyone who wanted to come from, whether they had past experience at HAM or no experience at all, to come aboard and take this Morse code class. No expense, no cost. So when I read earlier about the ARRL has 700 CW hams that are putting money into a pot to buy keys and equipment and tapes and all of these things for people, we didn't charge a nickel for our class. Of course, you had to buy your own key if you wanted to get a key. So I've got a nice key sitting here. It's all mounted and looking good. I can transmit if I have to. So for emergency reasons, if I had to use code, I could transmit. Just don't ask me to know what you're sending back to me. That would be very slow decoding. I'll be very honest about that. So here you are, South Coast Amateur Radio Service, did history this past year. Technician, general, extra, and Morse code classes, all in the same year, the first time. Because we never did this before. Actually, you could say Morse code is this year, but it was all in planned in 2010. That's when the plan came together. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, Mike here in Olathe, Kansas, letting it drop. Anyone has a question? Come on, jump in there. In a few moments, I noticed, I'm looking at the list again, that KJ4PUJ Tony, KJ4PUJ Tony is aboard, and he's been aboard for a while. Now, who is this guy, Tony? Who is this Tony guy? Now, I know he lives in the Florida Keys, and he tells me how many... let's say how many feet he is from the Atlantic Ocean and how many feet he is from the Gulf of Mexico. And what he's telling me, either he lives on a boat or he found a piece of dry land. Now, I remember when I took classes down at Key West at the Boca Chica Naval Air Station many years ago. They sent me there for training, so I was there for about 49 days. And I noticed there is no sand, there is no soil in Key West. It's all coral. The best I could figure, the ground is coral. Now, it rains every day down in the Keys, at least in Key West it did when I was there. It rained every day, but as soon as it stopped raining, the ground was relatively dry because the water went right through all of that coral, right back where it belonged. So I thought that was very mysterious. And for a young boy, I think I was 18 years old when they sent me there. No, I wasn't even, maybe 19. I'd never saw a miracle place like that, like Key West, Florida. Especially being a city kid from New York, I had no idea, you know, that, you know, you can read a book all you want and watch a movie, but to actually feel the warmth and feel the area and see the people and everything there, I was very well taken by Key West. So now I believe that Tony, he lives up a few islands up, you know, it's a chain of islands, and I'm not going to tell you how many miles it is because I forget how many miles of a chain of islands it is. And when I was down there, it was a one-lane road, and the only way for a sailor to get back to Miami was with the Greyhound bus. And I remembered I stood the whole way back from Keys up to Miami because that bus was loaded. So, of course, being a young gentleman that I was and being in uniform, I just stood all the way to let other people have a seat. But I do remember when I was down there, there was no fresh water at that time. Everything was pumped down in a great big pipe, great big garden hose that's all the way down to Key West. So they didn't. Today they have water purification, I believe, plants down there. And Pete can tell you more. Tony can tell you more about it than I. But at that time, it was pretty primitive and quite beautiful, quite fetching for a young man to see. So in a few moments, if Tony's there and if you're willing, I would like Tony to tell you what role he is playing in South Coast Amateur Radio Service. What role you can see him in the future. And I'm going to listen intently because it's all new to me. And I can be easily confused by titles and stuff, and Tony has a way of explaining things very well, very simply. So, Tony, if you're willing and you're there, KJ4PUJ, would you please come on and tell us what your role at SCARS is now.
Well, good evening, Mike, and thank you. Nice introduction. KJ4PDJ here. Tony, and like Mike said, I'm down in the Florida Keys. And they still pump the water down from Miami, Mike, although they do have some pumping stations and purification sites down along the way. As those that have been around the VOIP portion of SCARS for any length of time know, our fearless leader, Gordon KY6V, has elected to slip into semi-retirement and has asked myself and Jim KJ4WKD, who's also listening, and I'll give him a chance to speak here in just a minute, to take over as the net manager and assistant net manager so that he can enjoy some more leisurely life after being active in South Cars for 40 years and in ham radio for over 60. So after much reflection, Jim and I agreed to take on our new responsibility. I'm going to let it drop. Along those lines, Jim and I are working with Kathy, K6SUN, and Gordon, and the rest of the staff. We have a staff of just shy of 50 people for the VOIP operation. We're always looking for more. If you're interested in joining the staff, please send us an email to voip@southcars.com. Or for that matter, if you've got any questions on the programming or any comments or any suggestions, please send us, you know, your comments, your thoughts. You like it, you didn't like it. If you're listening to the VOIP operations on South Cars for the first time and you would like to join, we'd love to have you. As Mike has been talking, all the programming that we present is free, and the cost of joining is free. When you email us, we'll just need your first name, your email address, your month and day only for your birthday, and whether or not your address on QRZ is valid. And I'm going to let it drop again. We're also looking for hospitality people, and those of you that have been part of the SCARS organization for any length of time, we're looking for a Sunday programming manager to sort of monitor and maintain things on Sundays. Jim and I are talking with the rest of the senior staff, and we're looking at making some minor programming changes. But before we do that, we want everybody's input. We sent an email to the staff last Friday asking for their input, and we've had about a half a dozen responses. So if there's any staff members listening, that's a not-so-subtle hint to please respond. And for the general membership, again, if there's anything you want to see done differently, or you have an idea, or you want to run your own net on an open time slot, please, you know, again, send us an email. Tell us what you think, good, bad, or indifferent. And the email address, again, is voip@southcars.com. And I would ask Pete or Sarah or Jim, who's occupying the text box now, to plug that address in there for me. And that's about it. Mike, did that answer your questions?
As usual, Tony, you did an excellent explanation, and you did it in your own mellow way that all of us could understand what you were saying, and we're very appreciative of what you say. Now, keep in mind that Tony still works full-time because he's retired United States Air Force, and I might be saying it wrong, but I believe you're an EMT, and you're active down there in the Keys. So he has a lot of responsibility. And just like they always say, if you need something done, find somebody, find a busy man, find a busy woman, and they will get it done for you. Well, I think Tony is an example of that. Find a busy person, and they can get the job done. Get her done, as they say here in the Midwest, get her done. I don't know where that comes from. But, yes, thank you, Tony. And, of course, you can always count on me. Whatever you need me to do, just ask, and if I can do it, I will. Now, what gets hard for us hams is that we do not only sit in a chair and talk on Echolink. We do other things. We don't just sit in a chair and do HF or do Morse code if we can or whatever it is. We are very involved people. And my main thrust is emergency communication. My main thrust is getting out there and, you know, trudging around and doing things that the community needs done. Mainly by preparing for emergencies, you can really get a lot of training and a lot done. You don't have to have a disaster to wear yourself thin. You can wear yourself thin just training for the, hopefully, the thing that never happens. I'm going to let it drop, and I'm going to give you an idea of what I am doing in the next few days. In case you say to me, well, I got a full-time job, I've got a family, and you know all this stuff. Yeah, we all do. But we all can find little niches of time, and those can be times of relaxation, even though they're strenuous. Now, I'm going to let it drop, and then I'm going to come back. If anybody has a comment, please don't hesitate. Come on and say whatever you wish. Now, I'm all the way out here in Kansas, which is the, if you stretch the panhandle of Florida a little bit, you go on K-10 and keep on trucking, you'll eventually get to Kansas. You might not know that you're here unless there's a sign down there someplace, because you'll probably just go across Arkansas and hit Oklahoma and just keep on trucking, never come to Kansas. But here we have our own problems. You have hurricanes and your own disaster needs in the, well, I know a lot of you are in the Carolinas and the Florida, and then you got the Pete in Quebec. You've got, you know, different problems up there. Our main thing is tornadoes and these fierce storms that come up out of, well, they come out of the Rockies. A lot of them come from the southwest of here. And so they come from the Rockies and they get fueled by the Gulf of Mexico. The Gulf of Mexico is where our moisture comes from here in the Midwest. And those winds that come bellowing over the top of the 14,000-foot peaks in Colorado, and they come zooming down the plains coming across Kansas, that's what tends to make the storms that you get in the east so much. You notice how the storms usually start out here in the Midwest and then they eventually get to y'all in the east. It's just the west to northeast pattern, basically, but it kind of spreads out from there. So what are we on? This is a Thursday. Tomorrow night we call it the fun night. What our club does is a fun night, and what it is technical stuff. We're actually going to have the owner of Heil Electronics, H-E-I-L, I believe it is. I don't know how you pronounce his name, the German or the American style. I'm using the American Heil. And he is going to be on via Skype from St. Louis, out here to the Kansas City area. And he's going to be explaining the growth of electronics, radio electronics, communication equipment, and where it's going for us. And that's what we're doing tomorrow night. That's a simple thing. I get to sit down and drink coffee. But then Saturday morning, got to be up early, because then we have the storm spotter training. The National Weather Service uses storm spotters, of course, and they train us mainly for tornadoes and heavy storms, heavy lightning, thunder, all that nonsense, and ice. So we will have training all morning long into the afternoon. We'll actually have what they call protocol training, where we'll sit down, we'll discuss things, the up-to-date, and then we go out in the field. They give us sealed envelopes. We go out to the various sites that we have. There are pre-prescribed sites, which we don't let the public know of them, because then we'd have the public there with their binoculars wanting to see the storms. So we have we have quite a few sites we go to. And the envelope tells us where to go. We get there, and it has a story in there, a prescribed thing that we are to, like it's a live thing, like a drama going on. There'll be probably around 60 hams in the field in various locations spread across the county and beyond. And we will come in by the time. It tells us the times on these schedules when we're to chime in. That we're seeing a lowering of clouds, or we're seeing a storm front developing, or whatever we're seeing. And then the other hams, because they all know where we are, so they're looking at the movement of the storm. And so we're all actually doing a play, shall we say. But we have to have our gear working, so our radios have to work well, we have to have our equipment, we have various things to check wind speed and to check rainfall and such as that with us. So we have all of our gear, we have our vests to wear because we're on public highways quite often. So it makes for a real live drama, and we get this training once a year that we do. And then after I finish that Saturday morning, then my club is building a new website, so I have to go to a two-hour meeting, and we're building this website, four of us, so I've got to go get involved with doing that. And then back Sunday night, Sunday night I'm supposed to be doing Morse code classes. Oh, yeah, I'll be here.
Well, Michael's timed out, so we'll give him a chance to reset. Indeed, lots of activities to keep all of us busy. Michael being the first to be very busy. You know, I wish our club was a little bit more active that way. Not in the winter, I guess. It's hard to get people out in the winter. But in the summer, I kind of wish that we'd have more activities. We try to plan them. And we usually have, you know, three or four or five people come out. So we're a small group. We have a lot of fun. But I'd like to have a lot more participation, because the more people you have, the more stuff you can do. We always have our core members of hardcore people who like to go out. And the rest of them, I guess, kind of like to, you know, listen to the presentations and stuff like that. So it is what it is, I guess, and you got to keep trying and keep plugging away. I'll see if Michael is ready to come back amongst the living. KD0CDQ, this is VE2XPL. All right, Mike, you might have to sign out and sign back in. You've timed out, and I don't have my control node up, which is a bad, bad host. I should be whipped and chained. There you go. Yes, KJ4OSM. I am a homebrew antenna man, as he puts it. Homebrew antenna man. I like that. Let's see if I can give that an echo.
Homebrew antenna man.
Anyways, every antenna that is on this shack, on the two shacks. I have two shacks. I have my office and I have a real shack, which is in the baby barn in the shed outside. Which has these old radios that I don't want to get rid of, but I don't really use them anyway, so I threw these old radios in the shed, and then when I'm outside, you know, putzing around building stuff, I can listen in, and they're connected via the link, of course, so that's kind of a good way to have a real traditional shack, as well as my more technologically advanced shack, you could say that, in the house with the computer and all the gadgets and doohickeys. Yeah, I like making antennas. They're all homebrew. I've run a couple of quarter-wave ground planes in the past. I have a couple of dipoles up. I've played with long-wire antennas, which is basically just a lazy way to throw up an antenna. Or an easy way, really, a good emergency thing to do. And I have a J-pole, a 2-meter J-pole, and I have a couple of Yagis that I've built, one for 2-meter and one for 70-centimeter that I use for satellite. And that one I built out of 12-gauge wire and cardboard. So there you go. Those of you who think that it's got to be complicated to play with antennas, it really isn't. It can be. It could be as complicated as you want, but it could be really simple, too. And that's an easy project to get a club going on if you want to initiate people to antennas. And probably something that I'm going to work on with my club, too. So there you go. I think Michael is back now. I see that he's untimed out. So we'll pass it back to you. Back to Net Control. KD0CDQ from VE2XPL. Welcome back.
Yes, I'm sorry I ran over. Well, I'm getting all my material together to put it away into my archive so I know where I've been, so I can know where I'm going. I hope I didn't bore anybody tonight. I tried to make a potpourri because I don't really know. We don't really know what really interests you. We need input. We need your input. If you will just let us know what interests you, we'll do our best to try to supply those needs. So by taking a kind of a shotgun target effect here is what we're trying to do. We're trying to find out what encourages y'all to listen. Now, again, I might be on the far western panhandle of Florida here, being in Kansas, but I feel like I'm part of the group with you back east. And I do want to help and do anything I can, and I know that Tony and Pete and Gordon and Kathy all know this. So if anything I can do, let me know. I'll be back here in about 4 weeks' time, and I'll be doing, who knows what I'll be doing. It'll be part of the outreach. And I'm flipping my little pages, and it looks like it's March 17th. March 17th is when I'll be back trying to produce, finding something of interest to you. So I kind of listen to hams in my area, listen to what they're interested in, and I try to put together something for you that is spread out all over the country, the best way I know to find out what you like is to listen, and listen, and listen. Just like they say with a good ham operator, the most important thing is to learn how to listen. And that's what I do most of the time. I try to listen to people, and then I try to find information. It is fun looking for information, guys. Some people think it's work. Oh, it could be work. But if you put it in your mind that you want to learn, and you learn from everything you find, and the most important thing is to know what you know and know what you don't know. And if there's something you don't know and you're interested, hey, hunt. Find it. It's there. Ask questions. And that's what we want you to do. We want you to hunt, find, ask questions. If there's something you want to know, you want something, scars or present something, let us know. We're here to serve. We're not here to lead you around. We're here to serve you. So kind of remember that if you can. I'm ready to bail here. We've been on for an hour and 9 minutes, it seems. And I'm going to let it go because my wife is downstairs watching TV, and I should spend some time with her because we've been married 44 years this month, and it's good to spend time with your spouse. After you've been together that long and you wonder, gee, she must like you if she hung around that long. Wow. So God bless everyone. I am here, and I'll be here for a few more moments if anyone has any questions. But if you have anything you want to say, if you want to communicate with one another, I am done with a presentation for the evening. So take care, be safe, and you know that SCARS is there every day on HF as well. So check in there once in a while. Check in on HF. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. Mike, this is my final for the program. Good night, all.
KD0CDQ, Mike, this is David, KD8HQU. Just want to say thanks a lot for a great net, very interesting, and very well done. Thanks again. Really enjoyed it. And while I'm talking, let me say hello to Tony, KJ4PUJ, as well as Jim, KJ4WKD. I'd like to welcome you to your new positions. Sent an email not long ago congratulating you and offering my support in any way possible. If there's anything I can do, just let me know. KD8HUU.
David, thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. It's good to know that somebody's getting something out of what I do because it takes a lot to find this information, but I don't mind sharing it. Thank you again, David. Thank you very much, KD8HQU. Appreciate it. Back to you or whoever wants to say something.
PUJ.
Go ahead, PUJ.
Other than we thank the folks up in Michigan who maintain the servers for us. They do a great job, and we all wouldn't be able to gather here without their support. I'm going to break with you real quick, Mike, and say hello and thank you to David, KD8HQU. Appreciate your support and your congratulations, and I know I can say that for Jim as well. Again, anybody, if you've got any comments on the programming, good, bad, and different, things you'd like to see, things you'd like to participate in, a suggestion, and maybe you want to stay in the background, by all means, you know, send us an email, VOIP@southcars.com, and it will get to us, and that's about it. I want to thank everybody for showing up tonight. Pete, another great show. Mike, great presentation. I want to thank my partner, Jim, up in North Carolina, and the rest of the staff members that joined us. I've got an early day tomorrow, folks, so I'm going to say good evening, God bless, and have a great evening and a great day tomorrow. And I will be standing by for about 2 minutes, and then I'm going to call it a night.
Good evening, gentlemen. This is KJ4OSM. I just wanted to make a quick comment to David, Pete, Tony, everybody. I've caught this forum. This is probably the fifth or sixth time. I don't get to catch it often, but when I do, it's always something extremely informative. As a new ham, I've only been a ham for about a year and a half. The outreach program and being able to listen to the podcasts actually helped me in my individual study to get my generals. Unfortunately, I haven't done very much HF operation as my mentor in Elmer passed away this past year, so as I've learned to do more HF, I'm kind of doing it alone on his old equipment, as it were. So that's presented a little to me, but it's nice to have such great people around to be supportive in this hobby, and I just wanted to say thank you from KJ4OSM.
I believe that was KJ4OSM. I may be wrong on that. This is KJ4WKD. Would you come back to me, sir?
Roger. As a matter of fact, I am a member of the VOIP. I've been on there for quite a while now. My Elmer and father-in-law, Art, W4ZEF, got me first involved. And since I've been able to check in on the HF side once, I haven't looked to see what my roster number was on the HF side, though. Back to you.
Okay, I thought that would be the answer that you would give me. We can look that up for you. And this is probably, I just wanted to be sure that we had you on our roster. That's the only question, because boy, when somebody comes aboard, we want them to join us. So back to you, sir.
Yeah, no, I definitely did, and I've had the pleasure of a few actual members of your NCS staff or members of my local radio club here in Fort Pierce, Jack and John, you know, K4JAK and W8RAT. I have the pleasure of knowing Kathy as well, Little Miss Sunshine. She's a local here in Vero with me. But they kind of all got me in at the same time, along with my father-in-law, my South Cars number for VOIP. I know that one by heart is Echo 0899, but I've only checked in on the HF side once. As a matter of fact, that has been my only HF contact so far, has been South Cars. But it's really nice to have good people around to really help out, and it's been a lot to me since, you know, my Elmer had passed away, and who really got me into the hobby, to have these amazing people who are so passionate about the hobby to kind of keep me going. So it's nice to have. But thank you, KJ4OSF.
Well, thank you. I'm very sorry to hear that your Elmer passed away, and it's really tragic in more ways than one. Especially since he was there for you in the hobby, and I'm glad he was there for you. And you have actually been in the hobby longer than I have, I think. And in South Cars, apparently, according to the number that you provided, longer than I have, so I can't tell you anything, sir. Get over.
Yeah, no, Roger that, Jim. I don't think it's much about saying nothing, but I tell you what, it's definitely nice to hear this. Unfortunately, my work schedule is so crazy, it limits me from getting all too involved, unfortunately, which is a bit of a downer. But I get on when I can, and I tell you what, it amazes me more and more every time I listen, and especially the folks that I get to talk to, even such as yourself. It's awesome for rag chewing and just really getting to talk to everybody everywhere. Pete in Canada, Terry in Australia, I mean, all of them, Slav in Russia. You get to reach out to so many different people in such a different way, all collected in the same group, that it really is fun to listen to, for sure. KJ4OSM. Pete, quick question for you, sir, actually, on the homebrew antenna, man. I actually just ordered the antenna book from the ARRL, and curious, I rent a home here in Florida, and I was hoping to make a 2-meter dipole that I can actually kind of hide in the attic that I have here, and unfortunately, as a renter, I can't really go putting, even push-up poles I'm a little concerned with or anything like that, anything permanent or attached to the house that they worry about. But stringing one in the attic, am I going to be able to find out what I need from that book as far as material-wise?
Yeah, hi, Steve. KJ4OSM, V2XPL here. I guess Jim must have passed out. I guess he didn't come back. Hopefully he's not lying under his desk there. Hi. That's a joke. I have some weird humor sometimes. I guess that's the crazy Canadian in me, I guess. Yeah, that's the Bible. That's the Bible of antenna making, the ARRL antenna book. You are going to be very well served and even over and above, most likely. I consider myself to be. I studied antennas in technical school. That's what I liked back in the day. I've diverted into a very different career path now, but I still like to play with antennas and anything that's wireless communication. But yeah, you'll find some great models. 2 meter Yagi, or sorry, 2 meter dipole, very easy to build, and it's a good basic antenna. I'd recommend, like I said, the quarter wave dipole. The quarter wave ground plane antenna, and you'll find a couple of plans for one in there. It's not very tall. The total antenna is probably about maybe 25 inches in height. I'd have to calculate it exactly because you can kind of bend the radials down, and I think you'll get better bang for your buck there. That's just my opinion. But yeah, go through it. The latest version comes with a full CD that's got all this cool software, antenna modeling software that you could play with, propagation software, I think. And that might be in the other book. It's got the all the PDFs of the manual, so you don't have to carry the book with you. You could bring the CD with you, you know, if you're if you got your laptop on a field day or something, and just pop it in and refer to anything you want. I actually got mine by mistake. I had ordered the ARRL what is it called? The ARRL Handbook for Amateur Radios, I guess. And they sent me that one by mistake, and I liked it so much that I kept it, and I got them to send me the other one. So, yeah, it's a good buy. I highly recommend it. Not that I'm plugging the ARRL. They're a good organization. I'm not affiliated with them. But as far as antenna construction books go, that's good. And there's some other good ones on the ARRL website that you can check out, too, that are equally good. There's some on stealth antennas. There's a book out there on stealth antennas by a guy called... let me break for a sec. Can't remember the guy's name. His call sign is G0KYA, Go Kia. That's how I can remember him. G0KYA, check that out. He's got an antenna book called Stealth Antennas, and so all kinds of designs of antennas for people who live in urban environments or have neighborhood association restrictions and stuff like that. A lot of stealth stuff that you could do. And he's got some pretty cool designs in there from what I can understand. I was going to try to pick that one up myself. But anyways, I've blabbed on long enough. I'll pass it back to you, V2XPL in Montreal.
Very good, Pete. Thank you very much. I appreciate the information, and actually that stealth thing I'll go and check out right now because that sounds right my way. Matter of fact, the last time I think I spoke to you was a Saturday morning check-in for my smartphone via Olive Garden, letting everybody know my wife was pregnant. I figured I'd give you a quick update. Wife and baby doing well. It's a little baby girl. My wife is now 28 weeks, and we're going to name her Carly Rose. Other than that, not much else to report. So I'll say thanks again and talk to you soon, I hope. KJ4OSM back to VE2XPL.
Oh, yeah, roger that. No, the call sign was familiar, but I didn't put two and two together. I completely remember that check-in. That's amazing. Good for you. Congratulations. And give our best wishes to the two ladies in your lives, your two yellow roses of Texas, or I guess of Florida in your case. But great. That's awesome. Kids are amazing. Mine have been amazing me for 9.5 years now, and every day it just gets more magical, it seems. So it's truly a gift. There you go. So very good. I'm going to back out of here too because I start pretty bright and early in the morning. I'm up at 5:30. So, and I'm also, much like Michael, who has probably left us by now, I'm also going to go spend some time with my better half, who is watching... not sure what she's watching, something like ER or one of those doctor shows that I don't really pay attention to, but I sit there and we hold hands and it's kind of together time. So there you go. That's my my sappy plug for the night there. V2XPL Montreal.
No, thank you again. I just wanted to kind of give you a quick update, and thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate the congrats. You guys have a good night. I'm going to run out of here as well. KJ4 OSM.
OSM, before you go, KJ4 WKD.
Go ahead there, Jim, please.
There you go. He's passed out again, I think. Hi. Anyways, I'll say good night. I'm sure we'll talk again, Steve, because I've seen you connected more often lately. So I'll make sure I say hi next time. Although I'm like everybody else. I tend to listen more than I talk, believe it or not. So 7-3, we'll chat soon. V2XPL in Montreal clear, and going QRT.
I'm sorry, Pete. I haven't passed out. I just don't know how to work my buttons. And this is KJ4WKD. I wanted to say to the other gentleman, I don't have his name. I'm sorry, I don't have his name. OSM. I think he's talking about a 10-meter dipole, and I think that's about 20 feet. And he should have that much room in his attic, but I was going to say that he's going to have to be concerned about fluorescent lighting and a number of other things that can interfere with RF into that antenna. But it does work. It will work very well for him. So back to OSM or you, Pete.
KJ4 OSM. No, I definitely caught that, Jim. It was a 2-meter to answer Pete, as a matter of fact. However, I did, as a matter of fact, in QST Magazine, of all things, found a wonderful way to build the 20-meter out of a flagpole. And I did get permission from my landlord to put a flagpole up. So I have a way for that one, gentlemen. But, Jim, thank you, WKD. I appreciate that. KJ4 OSF.
Okay, one more comment, I'll let you go, but one of the best things for 2 meters is a J-pole, and you might look into that, a copper J-pole, or there's a really good stainless steel J-pole that's sold on the Internet, or you can make one. You can make one out of copper tubing. So the J-poles are really good for 2 meters because they're very small.
See, that's exactly what I'm looking for. The biggest thing I'm trying to do is obviously hide it or not have anything too obvious, any eyesore thing of that nature. I'm not in a homeowners association per se, but the landlord has issues with me attaching things to the house that will, you know, cause damage to the permanent structure or affect the permanent structure, if you will. So, you know, she doesn't want me even hanging plants by drilling holes, you know, into the outside of the house to hang hangers off of. So it's pretty particular as to what I can or cannot do. KJ4 OSM.
Yeah, that's I can understand that. That happens, and a lot of hams go through that with the HOA, and it's too bad. But the little stainless steel dipole, not dipole, but J-pole that I have is very stealth, and you could put that outside and no one will see it normally. Now, your landlady sounds like someone who would see it, so you might want to be careful, but you could put that in your attic. I have at the moment, I have a ladder line J-pole in my attic, and I hit repeaters all over the place. So 2 meters, especially with repeaters around, you can do a lot of things with very little. So shouldn't be a real problem. But with that, I'll let you get to bed as well. And I will be clear if you have a final. KJ4WKD, clear.
Thank you very much there. I definitely appreciate that, and I will definitely look into it. Like I said, I have my antenna book from the ARRL on the way, and I'm an electrician, okay? I enjoy tinkering with the stuff, and that's really what appeals to me here in the hobby, and other than the theory that I've studied, you know, for taking my tests, I haven't gotten too involved with antennas other than buying what I need to make my radios work. So now I'm trying to really see what I can do. So I appreciate all the help. Thank you very much, gentlemen, and I'll clear on out of here as well to spend a little time with my wife. So 73 stall, KJ4 OSM, clear.
I'm ready to bail here, it seems, and I'm going to let it go because my wife is downstairs watching TV, and I should spend some time with her because we've been married 44 years this month, and it's good to spend time with your spouse. After you've been together that long and you wonder, gee, she must like you if she hung around that long. Wow. So, God bless everyone. I am here, and I'll be here for a few more moments if anyone has any questions. But if you anything you want to say, if you want to communicate with one another, I am done with the presentation for the evening. So take care, be safe, and you know that SCARS is there every day on HF as well. So check in there once in a while. Check in on HF. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. Mike, this is my final for the program. Good night, all.
Thanks, Mike. Great show. And I take it at this point you've closed out your show and you are returning the server to normal amateur radio use at this time?
Yes, sir. Roger.